Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. That war is, of course, waged on the home front as well as overseas, and one of the spaces that it seems to me we ought to be paying attention to is the degree to which we may be contributing to a degree of lawlessness and increased criminality, ironically, by trying, in the name of criminal justice reform, to turn loose many people who are currently incarcerated on drug crime offenses. A man who has quite courageously spoken out about this problem, in fact testified before the United States Congress on the subject, is our first guest, Steve Cook. He is the president of the National Association of Assistant U.S. Attorneys. He is currently the chief of the criminal division in the Eastern District of Tennessee, has been involved in this line of work for 29 years, and has also had a seven-year career on the front lines as a police officer in Knoxville, Tennessee. He is joining us in his personal capacity, not in connection with his official duties, needless to say, but we're very, very pleased to have him with us to talk about this criminal justice reform initiative. Steve Cook, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm honored to be with you.
You testified recently that there seem to be myths and misleading anecdotes that are driving this now bipartisan push to change minimal sentencing arrangements and other aspects of the law. How would you characterize those myths and misleading anecdotes?
Well, there are many myths, and in fact, with respect to the anecdotes, it seems that the entire move is driven by exceptions, not the rule. They've paraded a number of cases where the system seems to have been overreaching instead of looking at the successes we've had.
And the successes you would define as what?
Well, the successes are huge. These statutes were passed. The statutes that are now at issue were passed in the mid-80s. Of course, we were in the mid-80s in the midst of a crime wave. Violent crime and other crime had more than tripled over the preceding 2.5 decades. Congress passed these statutes to do something about it, and it shouldn't surprise anybody that it worked. We started taking serious drug traffickers and violent criminals off the street and putting them in a federal penitentiary. As a result, from 1991 to 2014, violent crime has been cut more than in half. That's a huge success.
And Steve, one of the other things that seems to be at operation here is that there is some effort being made, and I can't quite tell whether it's deliberately misleading or innocently so, but to suggest that drug trafficking isn't inherently violent. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the refrain that we hear from the reformers is one about over-incarcerating, quote, nonviolent drug offenders. Of course, what we're talking about in the federal system is some very high-level narcotics traffickers, not low-level violent, nonviolent offenders. And to your point, there are two things that are implied by their refrain. One is that drug trafficking isn't serious. Two, that it's nonviolent. Both are nonsense. We've got, with respect to the seriousness of the crime, we've got a heroin epidemic, an opioid addiction epidemic that is killing, and in fact, last year over 43,000 people died from that.
Yeah, in fact, the president of the United States, as I recall, was just this week in West Virginia railing against this problem of opioid addiction, and it does seem as though there's a kind of schizophrenia here. On the one hand, very much and properly so, being concerned about the effects, and yet it would seem contributing to a resurgence of it, an intensification of it, because as I understand it, and again, our guest is Stephen Cook. He is an assistant U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Tennessee, speaking to us in a personal capacity, but also the president of the National Association of Assistant U.S. Attorneys. It does seem as though the line that we're being given is that somehow there isn't any connection between turning these folks loose and having a heightened degree of criminal activity because of the high rates of recidivism associated with this. And I'd like to ask you to address that. You know, how bad is the recidivism rate? That is to say, the propensity of these folks to return to criminal activity. And you ask the question, why the rush in making these changes that would perhaps turn quite large numbers of these folks loose?
Well, and both of those are important points. To your first one, and that is the recidivism rates, the most recent Bureau of Justice statistics reflect a recidivism rate at about 77%. That of course, should give everybody great pause about releasing more and more drug traffickers. As to that point, too, it's important for the public to know that the Sentencing Commission, through a series of changes in the sentencing guidelines, has already promulgated rules that have resulted in the release, the orders for early release of about 24,000 drug traffickers. The media has been much more active in reporting the next wave, because the next wave involves sentence reductions for 46,000 drug traffickers. Those are huge numbers when you're talking about early releasing them into our community, knowing what the recidivism rates are.
And knowing that there is, in fact, at least the violence being perpetrated by having lives destroyed by these drugs, and in all likelihood as well, a possibility of other kinds of violent behavior to boot. Let me ask you about what seems to be motivating this. And again, I know this is your personal opinion, but I'm just keen to try to figure out, given that it would seem we should take our time and see how this works out, if 6 or 8,000, let alone 46,000 of these guys are going to be, and I think they're disproportionately men, but they're going to be turned loose on our society. Is this really basically about kind of a sop to this whole notion that blacks have been unfairly treated in this business and kind of playing into that whole Black Lives Matter meme, Stephen Cook?
Well, I think you make a good point, and there has been a lot of concern, and there should be a lot of concern about the impact on minority communities, because minorities have been disproportionately incarcerated under these laws. But to suggest that the system has acted inappropriately, I think, is flawed for a number of reasons. First of all, we all know how the criminal justice system works. Congress looks at criminal behavior, things that are going wrong in society, and they pass statutes to criminalize it. The executive branch then enforces it, and the judiciary sentences people. Now, although people have looked at this extensively, nowhere in the process, they looked at the legislative enactment, and no evidence of any bias. In fact, it was these laws were passed with wide bipartisan support. Secondly, on the executive enforcement, no evidence of any bias in the enforcement. What we have is a disparate impact. That is, that the minority communities have been impacted disproportionately. What's important to remember about that is those minority communities were disproportionately impacted by the crime. Turning that around, they have been far and away the beneficiaries of the incarceration that's occurred as a result of these.
Let me just close by saying, Stephen Cook, I appreciate so much your leadership in expressing the concerns of those like you in the criminal justice system, because it seems at least in part, if not intentionally, certainly in part, the repercussions of this are going to be to discredit the fairness and the utility of the criminal justice system. And it hardly seems as though that's something we should be doing at this point, further undermining really the rule of law itself. We have to let you go for the moment, but I do hope we'll be able to continue this conversation with you as this very important legislative initiative hopefully gets more scrutiny in the future. We thank you for what you are doing at the National Association of Assistant U.S. Attorneys, Stephen Cook, and in the Eastern District of Tennessee. Keep up the good work, and thank you for your time today. Peter Pham joins us next. We'll get an update on Boko Haram in Africa and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.